ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 So I'm very happy this evening to have the opportunity to speak a little bit on the topic of Guru Tattva. I somehow felt that the fact of being engaged for so many years with my Guru Maharaj was actually a very good opportunity to come closer to this understanding, and I could see that as the years were passing that I was actually forced to study a little more what is the dimension in which we can perceive the spiritual master, and who is he really, the spiritual master. So I was actually forced every year, usually I will do that before Vyasa Puja will come, to study a little more on the Guru Tattva principle. And definitely there are many small experiences that happened also in my service to him that I would like to tell this evening. So we will have a little boat, we will have like some pure tattva on the scriptures about the identity of the spiritual master, and also some story and some remembrance. I think there are many things that you already know in what I will say, but please keep an ear open, and so that I can have you also, that at the end we can also make a churning, maybe some lila come to you, or some experience that came that are connected, and that we could do as a sharing. There is a beautiful verse in Adilila that describes very well the identity of the spiritual master and the way actually we should see him and interact with him. So I would like to read that verse, and there is a quite long purport, and in between paragraphs of the purport I will give some small example or some small points. So it's Adilila 146. Acharya mam vijaniya nava manyeta karichit namritya buddhya shuyeta sarva deva mayo guruhu. Translation. One should know the Acharya as myself, Krishna is speaking. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him as an ordinary man, for he is the representative of all demigods. Purport. This is a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.17.27, spoken by Lord Krishna when he was questioned by Uddhava regarding the four social and spiritual orders of society. The Lord was specifically introducing how a brahmachari should behave under the care of a spiritual master. A spiritual master is not an enjoyer of facilities offered by his disciple. He is like a parent. Without the attentive service of his parent, a child cannot grow to manhood. Similarly, without the care of the spiritual master, one cannot rise to the plane of transcendental service. So you see, here is also underlying the service of the spiritual master, which is actually like a parent, which is helping the child to grow to manhood. I remember once we had a program in Split, and that was, we had a big public program in a hall, and we invited everyone to come the next day in the temple for the Saturday feast, and quite a lot of new people were there. So Sachinandana's family came and sat on the Vyasasan that was full of flower and big decoration, and then they gave him a monster flower garland with how you call those butterflies everywhere, and everything looked very opulent, and we could see that many of those guests were looking at Maharaj like, here is the guru, you know. With many people have this connotation of guru, which is actually negative. They don't see guru as a good things. And Maharaj started the lecture by saying, who is guru? What is a guru? So everyone was wondering what Maharaj had in mind. And then Maharaj said, a guru means a servant. One who is a guru means he is a servant. And actually, if we observe the life that our spiritual master have, it's just totally amazing how much they are identifying themselves to this, actually what is our original position, to be a servant, but how much they are connected to this true identity of the soul of being, as being servant. And often we see the guru as his servant, and everyone is serving the guru, but actually the guru is doing the biggest service that all servants are doing to him, and very often he accepts service as a service to the disciple. Also, there is the interesting point that the guru actually do not want to enjoy facilities that are given to him by the disciples. And here also it is interesting that the guru, when the guru is receiving money or receiving support in his preaching mission, or whatever the guru is receiving by the disciple, he actually never think, oh, they made me a favor, they are so kind. He is thinking actually Krishna inspired them to be generous or to give. He always sees it connected to Krishna. He doesn't see that it's directly the disciple making him a favor. And in the same way, the disciple should not think, oh, how now I have favored my guru. I have given him 200 euros. That's quite something. He must be very happy. But the disciple should actually think, by the grace of the Lord, I receive inspiration in my heart to give this money of the Lord. And by the grace of the Lord, I was able to earn this money. So it's the spiritual master is never actually directly enjoying whatever is given to him by disciple, but he always see it's actually the Lord that gave inspiration to the disciple to give that. Also, sometimes the example is given, if you come back to this analogy of the father taking care of the child and giving good education, sometimes the guru is also compared to a doctor. And I think you, Ananda Vadan, should know very well, most of the doctors, they work, they try to treat patients and help patients, but somehow they always keep a little worried if it will work or not, how is my patient going on, and like this. And in the same way, the spiritual master accepts such a responsibility by having so many disciples, and he always also keep in his heart this worry that the disciple will cure for material disease and that the disciple will be liberated. Such a big responsibility for the guru to accept responsibility to bring his disciple back to the spiritual world. It's very, 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 very amazing service. We just cannot fathom, cannot even imagine what a sacrifice, what amount of service, seva bhava, is there in the spiritual master. So I continue reading the purport. The spiritual master is also called acharya, or transcendental professor, or of spiritual science. The Manu Samhita explains the duty of an acharya, describing that a bona fide spiritual master accepts charge of disciples, teach them the Vedic knowledge with all its intricacies, and give them their second birth. The ceremony performed to initiate a disciple into the study of spiritual science is called Upaneti, or the function that brings one nearer to the spiritual master. Only out of his immense compassion does the personality of Godhead reveals himself as the spiritual master. Therefore, in the dealings of the acharya, there are no activities but those of transcendental loving service to the Lord. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. Very, very beautiful. Yeah. He is worthwhile. It is worthwhile to take shelter of such a steady devotee who is called Ashraya Vigraha, or the manifestation or form of the Lord of whom one must take shelter. So in the beginning of this paragraph, Prabhupada mentioned that the spiritual master is actually the compassion of the Lord. When the compassion of the Lord becomes so dense, so intense, this compassion just transforms and takes place and incarnates in this world and takes place in the form of the spiritual master. Therefore, we also hear that the spiritual master is Kripa Shakti Murti. He is the form, the Murti of the Kripa Shakti of the Lord in this material world. Mahanidhi Swami explained a lila of once Krishna taking his lunch together with Rukmini in the spiritual world, and suddenly Krishna said, I have to go, someone is calling for me, someone needs help. And Rukmini said, my lord, the whole world is calling for you all the time, why do you need to go now? And Krishna said, now a devotee is calling me by calling me Gurudev, Gurudev, and Gurudev, this is my form of compassion, I cannot leave that devotee alone, I have to go immediately now. And Mahanidhi Maharaj also explained that there is in the heart of the disciple another energy of the Lord which is called the Acharya Shakti, which is actually the form of the spiritual master which is in our heart. And whenever the devotee is in sincere trouble, when the devotee is tested by the material energy, by Maya, if he sincerely turns toward the Lord, the spiritual master in the heart, this Acharya Shakti, and take shelter, then immediately he will be connected and get strength to go over. And this is a little bit also what is at the end of this chapter, where Srila Prabhupada explained that it's actually this form of the spiritual master, the Ashraya Vigraha, this form where one should take shelter and where one get the most efficient shelter in his spiritual life. So I continue reading a little more. If one poses, or should we, before I read further, should we see a little bit if there are comments or questions on those steps, or should I just go through everything and then we what do you think? Anybody has something to add or to... Okay. So, if one poses himself as an acharya but does not have an attitude of servitorship to the Lord, he must be considered an offender. And this offensive attitude disqualifies him for being an acharya. The bona fide spiritual master always engages in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By this test, he is known to be a direct manifestation of the Lord and a genuine representative of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Such a spiritual master is known as Acharya Dev. So, the bona fide spiritual master never want to be God or never want to be in the center, but always engage in unalloyed devotional service. And we were hearing in the previous paragraph, Prabhupada saying he's the supreme personality servitor of Godhead. So I would like to a little bit develop on this point of Seva Bhav, the Seva Bhav of the spiritual master, his absorption in service. I mean, those years that I was traveling with Satchinandana Swami, I was just again and again and again and again amazed of the dedication of the spiritual master in the mission of his own spiritual master and in the mission of Krishna. How not a minute is wasted, and how much care for studying, reading. I remember, for example, often when we were traveling by airplane, that we would have gone very late to bed and risen very early, and as soon as I will be in the plane, I will just feel like put the seat back and just rest. But Kumash will take out his note and his books and will just continue. And I mean, I had 20 years of difference, if it's not more, and I was all the time wondering, how is it that he is able to do so much so much service, and so much enthusiasm is burning in the heart of those devotees that they just they are just totally into this this service attitude. Also, something very interesting is this this desire, this amazing desire to provide inspiration. And this is, by the way, what is the guru side. We know there are actually guru tattva. The guru has two tattva. He has jiva tattva and he has guru tattva. In one sense he's a jiva, and in one sense he has also this empowerment, or he's like this compassionate side of Krishna. And the inspirational side of the guru, this is the guru tattva. This is this side of compassion of Krishna. And we can see also how Prabhupada would just, whoever he will meet in any circumstance, he would always be able to provide the ideal inspiration for the ideal persons. I heard even once they were on a morning walk. I'm not sure exactly how the story was, but there was a fisherman, a man who was fishing, and Prabhupada just looked at him, and this man looked at Prabhupada and felt attracted to him and wanted to give him a fish. And Prabhupada just said, keep it for yourself. And I don't remember how is it, but he was just able to with every single person to actually give them inspiration, to actually nourish every soul so that they could make spiritual progress. And I could see also so many times in my own Guru Maharaj, by being with him, how many times he was just able to provide the proper inspiration. I was just reading a little bit the first diaries that I was writing when I started my service with Maharaj. And one day we were driving from Golokadam to Nishinga Farm after the Sankirtan, the New Year festival, the Sangamela. Guha Shiromani was with us in the car. And Maharaj was asking us a question. He was asking us, why are we still in this material world? What do we still have to learn in this material world so that we can actually go back? What is actually the lesson that is missing? What did we not yet understood so that we are still in this material world? Oh, I remember once we were in England, and when Mataji was serving us the breakfast, Maharaj Gumash said, you take breakfast with me. I was sitting with him at the table. This Mataji came to serve, and then he looked at this Mataji and he said, What do you really want to do for Krishna? What is alive in you to serve? What is enthusiastic for you to do as a service for Krishna? What is you glowing yes for serving Krishna? And then he said, don't answer now. Next time we meet in a few months, you will answer to me. So the Mataji went back to the kitchen and continued our service. And then Maharaj just kindly showed me and said, this is like this that we help most devotees, by giving them opportunity to think, opportunity to develop themselves, and also look themselves what they should do, not to tell them you should do this or you should do that, but just give them, just assist them for them to progress closer. And this is, I mean, Maharaj was just all the time helping in that direction. Another time we were in the car and Maharaj was saying, I think we all need to take a deep commitment in our life. Now when we hear commitment, we could say, okay, go early to bed or chant more or chant at least what I'm supposed to chant or like this. But Maharaj was saying, we should make actually a strong commitment against inattentiveness. Should make a strong commitment in our life around against spaced out, being spaced out. And all the time Maharaj was just distributing those small inspiration, and this is also such a good example of service, and that's actually what a spiritual master is all the time doing. Of course, when I would see my Guru Maharaj giving 100%, if it's not more, 120 or 150 in his life, we were all the time worried for his health and all the time trying somehow to restrict him and to discourage him to do service so that he will take care of his health. And I remember one story, I mean, I told it few times, but I mean, we would go all the time so late in the night to bed, and Maharaj will give darshan and darshan after darshan. And sometimes I would arrange the darshan and I would enter the room and Maharaj was just like transparent. Like in the sense he had given so much of himself, you could see he was just like totally, like all his energy were gone. He was there, he was doing his service, and you could see actually how empowered he was that he could still do the service. But on the external level, he looked so drowned away, and he will say all the time, those darshan are so difficult for me, because this subtle exchange of mental strength between the person and the guru, that the guru give his purity, the guru he give his knowledge and all his spiritual strength, and he's getting those troubles and everything of those who come on darshan. And yeah, it was often I was thinking Gumash should do less, and I was convinced in me Gumash is not living like he should live. And sometimes even Gumash would say, I live like a crazy, I should change my life and like this. And one day we were in New York, and it was the morning I went in his room when he just woke up, and he said, oh, I had such a good dream. I was in Vrindavan. It was wonderful. And Gumash had so many times dreams about Vrindavan. I remember once I woke him up in Radadesh, and he was in a dream, and he was so angry at me that I woke him up. I mean, we had to go somewhere, so we were driving in the car, maybe 20 times in the car. He was saying, Gorari, why did you wake me up? He would really often have those dreams. Anyway, this time in New York, he also had a dream that he was in Vrindavan. And then he told me, oh yeah, and today he wanted to take his medicine. And he said, oh no, I should not take my medicines. Today is Ekadashi. And I say, I think it's tomorrow Ekadashi. He said, no, it's today Ekadashi, I'm sure. And I say, okay, I just checked with the pujari, so I checked, and I went to him, and I said, no, it's tomorrow Ekadashi, it's not today. And Maharaj said, I'm sure it's today. And I say, what can I tell you more? The calendar, the pujari, everyone says it's tomorrow. And then he thought for a while, and he said, oh yeah, yeah, today is Ekadashi in India. In my dream it was Ekadashi, and therefore I was sure it's Ekadashi today. But actually it's Ekadashi today in India, not here in New York. And when I heard that, I thought, my God. And then I thought in myself, I should not think that Gumash is doing anything wrong. I should not think he should serve less or do different. I just felt he's just getting full mercy and full empowerment, and everything is all right, Gorari. Don't worry if he's preaching too much or doing so much of service. So this is the side of the guru, this always giving to others, this total dedication over one's health, giving everything of the person for the benefit of others. It was also very nice to see when we were invited in Grihastha's house. Often when we would arrive, the Grihasthas would be there and say, come in the kitchen, everything is ready to be in your plate, and they wanted immediately to serve him the meal. But Gumash was saying, oh, can I just see your deities? Where is your altar? So he would go to the altar, and then he would say, I think we should sing for the deities, huh? Do you have instruments? So we will sing, and then Gumash will give a katha. He will speak about Krishna. Oh yeah, I just wanted to. We will come to the kitchen, but before, and this also is so beautiful to see. He did not want to go there just to accept their service, but his main concern was to help them spiritually and to give them the spiritual nourishment. That was most important than getting a good meal for himself. Also, we can see, wait a little bit. Yeah, we can see this intense service, and especially the service of the Guru, which is to give inspiration to others. How Guru Maharaj did always very, very carefully take care of his own bhajan, understanding that actually by my way of practicing deeply Krishna consciousness, I can be able to give to others. And I mean, I'm so, in my own life, so much grateful to see Guru Maharaj go on Kartik Vrata of closing 1 month of his active preaching and just absorbed into the chanting. And this was just such an amazing inspiration for my life. And few times I could be with him in those vratas, and it was just amazing to see him dive into the chanting and transform. I mean, when he would spend the full day chanting in the room, and I would go to serve him a meal in the afternoon, and I would open the door, it was just like shining. It was just like another person. And I remember when I was in Uchagaon serving him, actually it was in 2004, it was quite in 2 years I was in the service with Maharaj, and he was telling me, every year when I start a new vrata, I always continue where I stopped the last year. I always start my vrata on that level. That means I don't have to restart the whole process. When I go again in the vrata, I'm there, and I just continue further. And then he was saying, this is my crying room. This is the room where I'm crying for Krishna. It was just so amazing, this aspect of actually really going deeper himself so that he can bring the devotees in a deeper level. Also, very often when Guru Maharaj will chant japa in Gaurabhavan or in many places, he will start, most of the time, he will start chanting japa by chanting prayers. He had big prayer song from all acharyas and all saints you could imagine, and every day he will just start his chanting by deeply tuning himself into a devotional atmosphere, and then from there he will chant. And very often an open book will be in front of him, and he will just time to time in between the verses read and then chant. But I cannot speculate on his way of doing bhajan, but I think he just could not allow himself to chant the holy name without thinking of Krishna. That if the mind will be too restless or think of too many other things, he would have a book, he would have something to just bring his consciousness back to Krishna and then continue chanting with his mind full of Krishna. That was always my feeling. It just cannot go on. You cannot do it, to chant and to not be able to think of Krishna. And we all know when we have a lot of things to do, a lot of worried or a lot of anxieties or responsibilities, it's difficult to control the mind. The mind is just going, I have to do this, I have to do that. And we know also how the gurus are also very much busy and very much thinking also of the problems of the disciples. But just by the way of looking him doing the bhajan, his chanting, I just could understand, he just want to disconnect totally from everything else and just totally have this focus on Krishna as he's doing his sadhana. Something also that I was also very much impressed is when festivals will be there, or especially in Nishingakshetra, very often when we will go there for festivals, there was not a good organization of who will give the lecture. And I could see how, I mean, I hope I'm not sounding praising too much my Guru Maharaj, but I mean, I need to speak a little bit on that level because of all those years, but he would always ask, so who is giving lecture tomorrow? He would always, and he would, if nobody would be in charge or nobody would be on the schedule or like this, he would actually not hesitate to put himself, and one could say, actually it's not so humble to put yourself on the like this. But Maharaj was just very seriously looking, I want the devotee to get nourishment. If nothing is organized, then I'm ready to go myself. Like sometimes there was Nishinga Kata in the afternoon. But nobody was scheduled. No names were there, and nobody would be in the temple room. Nothing was happening. And Maharaj would just run there in the temple room, sit down, make a kirtan, and start a katha. And then, obviously, order will come. But all the time, this feeling of responsibility to serve the devotees, and often to do like, okay, that's a festival, let's do 3 days of seminars or lecture, or this mood really of even stepping front of, putting oneself in front, that nobody really likes to do that, and you just will take that for that the service to the devotees was actually more important. And how much going into the detail in whatever he will do. I mean, when we had preaching programs, he was just everything. Where is the entrance, where the Vyasasana should be posed, where is the decoration, who is the sound system. He would just be like a manager, like a general manager, telling all the small details that need to be there. And then we understand, actually, to serve Krishna is not just a joke. It's not just let be there and let love everyone. It's actually very deep research in whatever we are doing, that we can do it in an exact way, in a perfect way for the pleasure of the spiritual master. Remember, we had once a Namyagya in Croatia, and somehow everything went wrong in the eyes of Guru Maharaj. I felt, obviously, there were a few mistakes, but it was not such a big deal. And then in the evening we went in the room and he said, so did you see the Namyagya this evening? And I said, yeah, it was okay, it was nice. And then he started to point out all the things he saw that were wrong. And there were really like 6 or 7 points that were really very bad according to his vision. And I said, oh my God, I did not even notice those things. And Gomaj said, the day you will be tuned to give pleasure to your spiritual master, you will see all of that. As long as you don't really want to give pleasure and you just do because you know it's good to do, but you are not actually tuned into this giving pleasure to the spiritual master, then you will never go so much into the detail, and you will always, it will never get high in quality. So that's few points I found interesting to observe in my spiritual master in those years of service, in how dedicated and how serious he was really to provide this inspiration to the devotees. So, yeah. Oh, definitely. Sometimes he's definitely telling, and sometimes it's heavy to take, and often you also wait that the devotees are open. If the devotees come to him and ask for feedbacks or things like this, then he will more say. But yeah, there are also sometimes my disciples are not ready to hear, so he just let them do. And sometimes also I remember once we were in Croatia and one bhakta is taking care of the Yoga is Music program. And Maharaj had an idea to do differently that he is doing. And he said, oh, call him, I want to speak to him. So I was dialing and then he said, oh no, actually don't call him. And then he said, this devotee took the responsibility of doing the program and everyone would have different vision of how to do it. And his vision is right. I would have another vision, but his vision is right. Let him decide and let him the independence to do the program on his own. And there I found actually a very, very nice point, because usually we all have our opinion, oh, this should be done like this, and we even often step on the toe of the one who has the responsibility to say, why don't you do like this and like that? But Maharaj just saw, actually it doesn't make a big difference, it's just a difference of opinion. I let him the free will to do. But obviously if there will be something, some really mistakes or things like this, he will do it. I think very often he is doing it, But sometimes he sees that the devotees will not be able to take it, so he just let it go. Or sometimes he tells it later, or he tells it to some other devotee, that hopefully they will go and tell the other devotee. Like, very often I found myself in that situation, that Maharaj will complain about things, and then I will go to the devotees and say, you know, Gumar said this and that, and maybe you can work it out a little bit like this. So often also it came in that way. You wanted to say something?
I wanted to ask something. Is some specific perfectionism which Guru Maharaj wishes us to develop in our life, in all regards, in all aspects of our life, that means of course in the service to Guru, in the service to Krishna, ultimately in the service to Vaishnava, to become as much attentive as possible, to see all these things that he sees himself, is what he desires?
Yeah. I think that's very, very much what he likes, that we become actually more and more conscious in whatever we are doing, to really cover all the area, to be, that means actually to become responsible for the.
I want to continue in this question, because sometimes I can see myself, I have observed myself sometimes in different services, and I could relate to it just what sometimes I was just so extremely exhausted that I could not do more like that. That was my experience in my service there. You know, I saw Guru doing so much, but we can never establish ourselves. But if I am on just this platform, isn't that perfect for that platform? Because I'm not able to do anymore. So this neighbor, everyone sees for himself. So how can we increase this energy?
I think this feeling of responsibility for whatever you do, I think it's much better we do less, but we do really good, we take full. And I can see very often Gumash had difficulty to give responsibilities to devotees, because so many times he gave responsibilities and mistakes were still there, all this spaced outness was there. And I could see, I was sometimes very amazed how Gumash was reticent to give responsibility. Very often I was thinking, but this devotee could do this and this devotee could do that, and very often he was saying, I don't think they will be able to do. He was actually very often deceived, or maybe he had a high expectation. And also sometimes what to do, we are conditioned in some extent that we are not ready to do the perfect now. That's also alright. But I think the point is really to work it out as good as we can, and to go more into the detail, to go more into consciousness, into whatever we are doing. Yeah. Could we add a little more light? I don't know. I see you are all a little bit like I cannot see you so well. Little more. Okay, fine. But obviously, we should not become discouraged, thinking, "Oh, I do already so much, and it's maybe not enough," and like this. I think we should take this type of thoughts as impediment, because sometimes it's not that we have to do more; it's more that we have to. That's more in the quality. More into our presence in what we are doing. It's again this work on attention, like attentive chanting, but also attentive serving in the way we are doing it. But we are all in the same boat. I mean, we are all chronic spaced out Hare Krishnas but we are working on it. But I think Gumash gave a very good example on how he was doing his service, and how after any program he would just sometimes I will start to ask him something in the car, and he would say, now let me think, and he would just go through the whole program again and just say, okay, this was good, this was not good, here I have to improve. And he was all the time looking for perfection. I don't know if you can say for perfection, but he was always looking how he can do his service better, what was good, what was not good, what is there to improve. Yeah. You wanted to say something? No. Yeah.
Translate, it's the same like cooking, you know, like, because you can try before, you know, so you have to somehow always remember how I did the last time and how can I improve and so on. So, like, reflecting from the service, like doing much also in every service, actually.
Hmm.
Because then you can come better, more direction perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dynamic, and you have to always think about these things.
Mm-hmm.
I have the feeling one really essential point what you were saying in your collaboration is the tuning in to the giving measurement, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is essential. Comes out in a perfect way, but you can see that it's pervaded by this mood. So then automatically you take responsibility and you're able to act in such a way.
Right in the center.
I don't agree with that. Because, you know, I remember, for example, my mother, she was one of the best for me. You know, but she could not see what's really the best, and this was quite a horror sometimes. So I don't think it's just the motivation that is there. You know, it has to be also the other thing. If I want to serve, I need first to become conscious about whom I serve, what are the pleasures of this person, or, you know, Krishna, or Guru, and so on, and do the best in that way, you know. So also on this, not only, well, I had the best desire, you know. Now, right? I remember also some Bhakta, he helped the temple with the cream house, and this was the biggest disaster I ever had. My God. So, yeah, he wanted to give pleasure, but it was for the opposite results.
There also the thinking needs to be.
Yeah, but so
yeah.
The heart,
yeah. Everything. Yeah, go on, Natasha.
Guru Maharaj is actually very handy. He is involved in the process of planning, for example. So we present, for example, our ideas as systematic as possible so that there is feedback. I just remember this, for example, in the arrangement for the Kirtan Mela. I mean, at the end, I was not so much part of the planning anymore, but in the beginning, we really made big plans as well before we presented it to Guru Maharaj, and we asked for feedback, and then we had the different sections built up. So we saw, okay, for all these purpose-based people responsible, and to engage Guru Maharaj in this is also like taking shelter and not acting in anything. I think this is definitely pleasing to Guru Maharaj, that he sees, okay, these devotees take shelter of me while by asking me, for example, by trying to get feedback, by trying to get the blessing. This is also connected to this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Great. So we move a little further. So a little more of the reading. Influenced by an envious temperament. Oh, here is heavy words. Influenced by an envious temperament, or dissatisfied because of an attitude of sense gratification, mundaners criticize a real acharya. In fact, however, a bona fide acharya is non-different from the personality of Godhead, and therefore to envy such an acharya is to envy the personality of Godhead himself. This will produce an effect subversive of transcendental realization. In one seminar of Mahanidhi Maharaj, he's saying, if you want to see your spiritual master as God, he will be God for you. If you want to see him as an ordinary man, he will be an ordinary man to you. It's depending on how you want to see the spiritual master. The spiritual master will reveal himself to you. It's almost like I mean, that was amazing. The first time Srila Prabhupada gave initiation to the disciples, he just told them the evening, tomorrow we have initiation. And I did not know anything even about the rules and regulation at that time. And then one of the hippies asked Prabhupada, what does it mean to take initiation? And Prabhupada answered, when you take initiation, that means that you will serve the spiritual master like you serve God himself. Or treat the spiritual master as you will treat God himself. And then he just exited the room and left. And devotees were, what does that mean? Should we still get initiation or not? Or what do we do now? That's a very, very amazing point. I mean, later it will be developed in the purport on that particular point. But I like very much this point from Mahanidhi Maharaj of actually according to the way you approach the spiritual master, in that way he will actually appear to you and reveal to you. He's giving also a very nice way to see the spiritual master as God himself by saying actually Krishna is full of ananda. And whenever you see your spiritual master in ananda, whenever you see your spiritual master in the bliss of serving Krishna, then you see Krishna. Then he is non-different than Krishna because he's full of bliss and Krishna is full of bliss. And this point, I think it's very, I try to train a little bit when I'm with Guru Maharaj and when I see him deeply absorbed in ecstasy of Krishna consciousness to understand here is Krishna. Here is Krishna through my spiritual master. And it's just this simple point of observing the spiritual master. This is the greatest jewel for the disciple, to observe the spiritual master when he's absorbed in his service for Krishna. This is what is actually giving us so much shraddha. This is what is giving us so much pleasure to witness the Guru Bhakti, to witness the spiritual master deeply absorbed in the service of Radha and Krishna, or the devotees, or his spiritual master. It is said that when one man is very rich, he will not show his bank balance to anyone. So you cannot know that he is actually very rich. But you can, if you observe him carefully, you will see how he's dressing, you will see which car he's driving, and you will be able actually to know that this guy is very rich. So in the same way, the guru is not making a display of his bhakti or showing his bhakti so openly. But for one who is actually observing the spiritual master carefully, then one can have access into those very secret moments. They are very, very special moments when we can witness the spiritual master deeply absorbed in service. It's really, I think, very beautiful when we can have those glances of the spiritual master. The real Vedic philosophy is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, which establishes everything to be simultaneously one with and different from the personality of Godhead. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami confirms that this is the real position of a bona fide spiritual master, and says that one should always think of the spiritual master in terms of his intimate relationship with Mukunda. So here comes another point from Raghunath Das Goswami, that actually we were hearing that the spiritual master is non-different than Krishna, and Raghunath Das Goswami bring it a little bit closer to us, that actually we should never see the spiritual master as separated from Krishna. He's actually all the time an intimate associate of Krishna, all the time. And this is the risk when we are with the spiritual master. As soon as we forget this intimate relationship as associate of Krishna, of being so close to Krishna, then very easily we can make aparad. Very easily we see the spiritual master as an ordinary man, and at that time we just don't get, there is no Guru Bhakti. Guru Bhakti cannot be in the heart of the disciple when we see the spiritual master as an ordinary man. It has to have this dimension of connection between the spiritual master and the closeness with Krishna, and how he is close to Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha has clearly explained that a pure devotee's observation of the spiritual master and Lord Shiva as being one with the personality of Godhead exists in terms of their being very dear to the Lord, not identical with him in all respects. So when we hear the Guru is non-different than Krishna, it also means that he is non-different from Krishna because he is very dear to Krishna. And we know that even though we can see the spiritual master as God himself and God will manifest in the spiritual master, still the spiritual master is never considered the ultimate object of worship. The ultimate object of worship is always Radha and Krishna or Lord Chaitanya, and the spiritual master is the medium through which we go to that. Following in the footsteps of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and Srila Jiva Goswami, later Acharya, like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, have confirmed the same truth. In his prayer to the spiritual master, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur confirms that all the revealed scriptures accept the spiritual master to be identical with the personality of Godhead because he is very dear and confidential servant of the Lord. Gaudiya Vaishnavas, therefore, worship Srila Gurudev, the spiritual master, in the light of his being the servitor of the personality of Godhead. In all the ancient literature of devotional service and in the more recent songs of Srila Nautam Das Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others, other unalloyed Vaishnavas, the spiritual master is always considered either one of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani or a manifested representation of Srila Nityananda Prabhu. Yeah?
In this connection, I just think that mostly it happens that we have a wrong understanding of Krishna, because we can see in the scriptures, for example, even as Krishna was here on the earth playing his Leela, most of the people did not recognize him as Krishna, as God. You know, and even this, some they recognized him. For example, Indra, you know, he did this two times. You know, one was he confronted Krishna as, so to say, ordinary. When Krishna lifted Govardhana, then he realized, oh, he is Krishna, you know, and he worshipped him. And actually, not long after, you know, because Indra could handle planets, you know, it's not a big time between. But not long after, the same problem, the same thing with Krishna again, with Prajapati, you know, so even there, you know, that Krishna is like the spiritual master. Sometimes you think it's ordinary. It's ordinary. Like the same thing with Krishna also. You know, it's not that, well, Krishna is always, you know, very easy to see, even if you would stand here. So also the spiritual master. Maybe he's more like Krishna, and this is why sometimes we think he's ordinary, and sometimes we see him as Krishna, as the servant of Krishna.
Yeah, but it's a good point. Even Indra has so much difficulty to see Krishna. Krishna should be really easy to be seen as Krishna, but even Indra has difficulty to see Krishna. So what to say about us, to see the spiritual master as Krishna? That's definitely not an easy thing. But I always feel, I mean, at least for myself, before I was all the time with Guru Maharaj, so whenever I would read on those topics, then I could go to the room and try to put myself in the proper perspective. But I think when we are not so often with the spiritual master, at least the moment we know we will see him, maybe we know we will see him for Ramnavami, maybe 3-4 hours in the temple, we can actually prepare ourselves. Okay, now let me try to see the spiritual master in his real identity. Once I spoke with Mahanidhi Maharaj also about that, and he told me there are 3 darshans of the spiritual master. The first one is a material darshan, you see him as an ordinary man. The second one, you see him as the representative of God, or the intimate associate of God. He told me the third one, you see him in his siddhadeha. You see him in his real identity of a manjari or whatever is his real identity. And I'm like, oh my God, this I want to see. But yeah, he was giving me this tree. And I think it's very important whenever we are in contact with the spiritual master to tune ourselves before and to actually be there to be ready to observe, to be more in this observing way, to see his bhakti, to see his way of worshipping Krishna, and eventually see more of himself.
I remember the speech of Martin Luther, one of the last words of the Siddha Loka Dham, who was in 2005 or maybe 20 years ago.
Who was
Martin Luther, so a friend of the and she was speaking about the Guru Chakra that day. Probably it was related to other incidents which had happened in this country, or but it was at least that he made one which was something converted later on. So, that the Guru Tattva is actually more important than the individual Guru. Because Guru Tattva represents the truth coming directly from Sri Krishna, while the individual Guru, as Martin also stated a little bit, is fallen. They didn't refer to Guru Maharaj, of course. He referred probably to other incidents which have happened. So therefore, he made this strong point that actually Guru Tattva should be more important. Now we, of course, always see in our own cases with Guru Maharaj, of course, we try to worship him and try to offer whatever we can. And we also see that this is actually a proper way to address our spiritual master and also our paramparas where we feel connected to, for example. But doesn't this diminish actually Guru in this sense? Because, of course, the Guru Tattva is very, very important, and we should maybe not, as it has been done in our tradition, one is this idolizing of this one person. It's everything in there from our own mental concoction. And then all of a sudden we get disappointed in our own mental concoction that the guru or whoever doesn't reciprocate in that way as we expected. But still, I felt also that when Martin spoke about this, it means a little bit my relation with my spiritual master. Because for me, he's more than only Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva is something very impersonal, but Guru is something very personal. So maybe you can relate, or if you can say something about this.
I'm sorry, I don't have anything like right now ready to say on that.
I just thought what you said, like Guru Tattva is something impersonal, I can understand.
No, it's like the general.
You cannot worship Guru if you don't understand Guru Tattva. Guru Maharaj often says, like, don't make a person calm and so on. But if you have understanding Guru Tattva, then you can really worship Guru. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, we have to understand that, you know, we are connected to Guru Maharaj. It's like post thing, you know. You know, this is the place where we can offer our worship to Krishna. You know, so and without this understanding, what's the worshiper of Krishna to this person, then it's just a, you know, worshiping the same person. So it's totally needed an understanding of Guru Tattva in order to worship Guru. Without that, it's just...
Yeah, no Guru Bhakti.
It's not that you can do the one without the other.
Yeah, that's more or less the same point that we were hearing. We should actually always keep the two connected. If we lose the dimension of the Guru Tattva, then you see him as an ordinary person, and then it's just idol or just human worship if you don't get the connection. And I mean, if you have only the Guru Tattva principle, it's difficult to worship also. you need the person. Obviously, when the guru disappears, you have through the vani, through the instruction and remembrance and like this, but obviously the person is... And also this intimate connection. Often Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that actually the relationship between guru and disciple should become very friendly, very close, so that the teaching can be given. If the disciple and guru are very far away from each other and very much in a lot of respect and fearful to do anything wrong or like that, a little bit needs to be there. But often Guru Maharaj spoke about this closeness between the guru and the disciple so that the guru can teach. So that guru is actually very, very close in a personal teaching and personal dealings, but the two should be together. The aspect of the Guru Tattva, the understanding of the position or the personality of the Guru is need to be there. If we see him just as an ordinary person, then there is no Guru Bhakti.
Because the source, if Guru is going to be, how can you fall down, for example?
It goes back also to this, what you said before. I mean, yes, this guru has invested this guru tattva and jiva tattva at the same time. And he is doing this post as a service, and he has always his free will to decide whether he will continue in the service or not. And if he disconnects himself, then I would say he is losing this guru tattva.
And what he did before was connected. What he did before was Krishna conscious and still to be accepted and still valuable. But obviously at the moment the spiritual master make mistakes and change his way and decide to not follow anymore the path, then he's losing the...
I would like to add one question in this regard. In the morning, you will be eternally
Kudana diloye janne janne prabhu se life of life, life you are my prabhu. No, but that's easy. That's come to the which guru? If it's the Samasti guru or the Vyasti guru? The Samasti guru, I think, are the independent gurus, and the Vyasti guru is the original original guru, and the original guru is eternal.
We have not only one guru. We have, you know, Bhagavatam is written there so many gurus. We chose, you know, like representative, in my case, you know, Sacharasvami. And if he decides out of his free will to step out of the service, you know, and so to say falls down, you know, then the result is that I, as a disciple, I have also to decide, okay, I have to look for someone else, but I, you know, where is guru shown now for me, you know? Because guru means it's reflection, so to say, or the representative of the super soul. You know, so that's the thing. It's not, and to progress. So.
And there is also in this song, there is something, my only desire is to be singing, although it is not true. So you analyze this.
Yeah, but
I mean, it's a good question, but really, like, we relate in this sense, and Guru Maharaj also realized the Prabhupada to make sure that we will be always connected.
Yeah. Priya. The Vyasti Guru is the guru in essence, is the guru who manifests in the different gurus. That's actually the guru tattva. That's the essence. That's the inspirational side that is appearing in the guru.
It's
a principle. Yeah, we can see him as Krishna or Harani.
Yeah.
I remember once we had this yoga is music with Krishna Das, and Krishna Das was giving a workshop, and he was speaking about his guru and his guru and his guru, and Guru Maharaj was on the scene, but we were just like friends. Guru Maharaj also was the friends of Krishna Das, so Krishna Das was in the center, and suddenly someone asked Sachinanda Daswami, and who is your guru? Because Krishna Das was speaking so much about his own guru. And Sachinanda Guru Maharaj said, my guru is Krishna Das's guru. And everyone, oh. And then Guru Maharaj explained about the Vyasti Guru. This one, the guru is one and appear in many different gurus, but the same person, the Vyasti Guru or Krishna is acting through the different gurus. But Guru Tattva is one of the most difficult Tattva to understand. Yeah, Rasa Tattva and all those other Tattva are much more simple to understand. The Guru Tattva is really, it's not so easy to understand fully.
Is it really possible to understand it on the intellectual level?
Well, it will help. It will help. Definitely, if you don't have any understanding on an intellectual level, it's very difficult, I think, to get it on the heart level. It has to start from the intellectual level, and then you eventually get into deeper realm when you can actually witness, see it in front of your eyes, or feel it deep into yourself.
But is it, like, let's say there would be some student from some university knowing nothing about bhakti, and from our books or from your laptop to understand what is Guru Tattva. Is it possible to understand this Guru Tattva without having at least a little bit bhakti or a little bit mercy?
Even with a little bit bhakti and a little bit mercy, you cannot understand maybe so far. But I think they will get something. I think they will get something. Maybe not everything, not maybe much, but they will get something. And by hearing this type of topics, they will be connected to some type of devotional energy. So they, Hare Krishna, so they will definitely be able to get something on it. Yeah, to some extent, I think. Kanupriya.
In the beginning, you mentioned that Guru is also Kripa, Shakti,
Mota.
Yeah, this is the
Vyasti. This is the Vyasti Guru.
So, my question is, sometimes I pray to Guru Maharaj, quote, in the heart, and then I feel that I get answers. Sometimes I yeah.
Okay. So, should we go a little further, or should we discuss more on that topic? What do you think? Yeah, we have also to watch the clock. Yeah?
So, sometimes I pray to Guru Maharaj, and sometimes I just pray to Krishna and Mahat, and I get also sometimes answers, but I don't feel a difference. Is there some, to the Krishna, of course, it's on the one side it's one, on the other hand, but on the practical level, is there some, is Yasu Guru guiding me differently, or more directly, or? Have I all connection to Krishna?
Krishna like when we go through the Guru. It's maybe the Vyasti Guru is maybe Krishna also, but Krishna likes that we go through the Guru. So it's definitely always recommended to go through the Guru in whatever we are doing, in praying, in serving, in whatever we are doing. This is Krishna likes us to do like this. So that's the best way to go through the spiritual master first. I was planning to speak a little bit also about the training of the guru to the disciple and his way actually. I mean, every guru have different ways, but often they have hard way that are there actually to uproot the roots of anattas in the disciple life, and different gurus have different ways to do that, and it's actually usually painful to get through that. And sometimes devotees think, what is the use, or why is my Guru Maharaj so heavy with me? Just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's it. There is no why does he need to do that? And actually it's absolute need for the spiritual master to help those bad tendencies to go away. I was telling you a little bit 2 days ago about how Guru Maharaj was working on me about this duplicity. When I asked him a feedback, and he said, try to be yourself. And I was thinking, what does he mean? What does he mean? And 1 year later, one morning I went in his room to bring him the thermos, and suddenly it was almost like he took a mirror and he just showed me who I was. In the way he spoke to me, in the way he answered to me, I was just like totally shocked to see myself in such a way. It was really, I was suffering. It was like direct contact with the false ego. And then for 2 or 3 years, he was all the time showing it to me, all the time showing it to me. And it was something, maybe if someone would have been there and would have heard, he would think it's funny or it's nothing bad, but inside of my heart it was just like all the time pressing on that point. And that was all the time this point of duplicity, this point of showing that I'm actually a happy devotee, that I'm the smiling Gaurahari or whatever, and that it was not a genuine thing. And the guru has really a special shakti to teach in the disciple and to crash down this false ego. I remember there was one bhakta who wanted to become disciple of Guru Maharaj, and one day he came to me. He said, Maharaj can do whatever he wants with me, but I cannot tolerate that he ignores me. I just cannot tolerate anymore. He was just like freaking out how Guru Maharaj was just ignoring him in some ways. And I mean, I can see also Guru Maharaj teaching to others, and I can see also how expert he is in making us uprooting anattas in us. Obviously, it's also often dependent on how much we are ready to give ourselves in his hands. Many times also when I would ask him, when and what about this? And he would say, in 10 years I will tell you this. Now you are not ready for it. Yes, but he also waits that we are ready and that we are open also for the training, and then this training can come. But definitely all the gurus have really their way. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu is a little bit same style than Guru Maharaj. Very often he will speak in the way you speak or act in the way you act, just for you to see your false ego in him. And this is also very painful. I mean, a few times he did it to me, and a few times, oh my God. There was Akura in Switzerland, the Gita coaching Akura, and he was temple president in Belgrade a long time ago. And there was one devotee who was quite rough, quite from the gangster background, really rough one. And Akura was telling him, "Why don't you smile? And even you don't feel it smiling, just smile. Just train yourself to smile." And one day he met Krishna Kshetra Prabhu and he gave him one of those smiles to him. And Krishna Kshetra Prabhu just replied with the same type of smile to him. He just had to run to Akura and he was almost crying. He was just devastated. "He made this smile to me. I will stop smiling." But every guru, they really have their ways to crush the false ego. And the important is to understand it's actually very necessary, and we should not be afraid to open our heart. Obviously, if we are in a weak situation, but often Kumaraj did that when I was very weak. Very often, like I would be driving and I would lose my way. And we had the program and where to go, and I would start to panic and look at the map, and at that time Kumaraj would come and press on the ego. Why now? Why now, Kumaraj? But very often he had to do that when I was not in position of force, so that that I would allow the work to be done. If I would be in position of force, I would just not accept it or go against it. But in those situations of trouble, I mean, there are few times. I mean, there are two instances. I don't want to tell them now because time is passing. But two instances, I was really thinking, how can you do that? That's too much. I'm already lying down. I'm already banging 3 times on the floor, saying stop. I surrender. I cannot do. And you keep on doing it. It was really few times at the border, but I somehow all the time got the necessary strength to go through. But few times it was really, really amazingly strong.
So I mean, it's really heavy. Mm-hmm. I had one experience where the mind was heavy. I didn't think of leaving, but it was just like, I could really feel that pain inside me.
It's, you are really tested in those moments, also in your face. And
yeah.
I remember sometimes Kumaraj said, "If I will tell you what is your problem, you will bloop. You will bloop immediately. Better I don't tell you now." And then he was, "I will tell you in 10 years when you are more able to understand." Yeah, it's very painful when it comes.
Yeah.
Is there a way to get more of this? Because that means there's something, and I cannot even tell me. I don't think that he says, "Oh my gosh, it's perfect. I don't have to tell you anything." No, I see. Okay, maybe it's not the right time, but okay, what can I do to come to this point?
Definitely, it can also come through the via of the guru, but through different devotees. And maybe also it's maybe not the proper time now. Maybe you will just not be able to support it, or maybe it comes through other devotees. But it's good to try to be wanting to receive more. But more than asking, you cannot do. If you ask and it doesn't come, maybe it's true that to some extent maybe you don't need maybe at the moment to be crushed like apple, like I don't know what is crushed, but Maybe it's not necessary. Different disciples also need different. Some have really strong ego and need really heavy crash to break it down, and some have are more submissive by nature. And maybe I don't think it's you, but I don't know. But more than asking, you cannot do and see. Sometimes the guru can manifest in others.
Yeah.
Oh, and this works usually very well.
Praying like telling to him directly, or praying like, because what is it? If you ask him for a feedback, in a way, it's a directly spoken prayer, isn't it? What is the difference between praying to his picture, please show me what can I do better, or telling him, please tell me what can I do better? Is there a difference? So I ask him to tell me something, but I pray, please make me humble.
Not so much.
You know, like prayer sounds like strong. But if you ask him very honestly, then it is a strong prayer. It is a very direct strong prayer, and it's not very big in the mercy.
I mean, often if you pray to the picture, it will not be as strong in your heart. If you tell it directly to the person, you are really meaning your words much more than if you do it to the picture. It's almost like to pray in your mind or to say it loudly. You can tell many things in your mind, but when you tell it loudly, you just feel, oh yeah, I'm actually praying for that. It makes some difference.
That's why I asked her, what does she mean by praying?
Uh-huh.
Because if you ask a guru for something, it is a prayer.
Yeah, but definitely, did you try to do that to the picture?
I think it was quite a many times later.
Uh-huh.
I
tried sometimes. I would address Lord Nishingadev for those type of things, but usually it came very fast and very strong. Usually it was really like, oh ho, yeah, finally we can do it, and bang bang. I was giving last year some lecture in Berlin Temple, and I was speaking about taking shelter. And then after this lecture, everything started to be wrong. And I was starting to go deeper into struggle. And after a few days, I was really low. And then I hear in my heart, so why don't you take shelter now? And then I felt, oh my God, yeah, it's actually not so easy to take shelter. It's easy to give a lecture on it, but to really turn your heart totally to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna for shelter, it's not easy. You wanted to say something?
Yeah. Our abilities, as you said before, to see to engage in that. seem to be satisfied in that part. In other words, it's behind the world and all such stuff. He seems to be there's some endeavor to do something about it, which is I thought it's another side, of course. But if you put it on the scale, you know, the heavy side is not so strong as the positive side, it's just encouraging.
Yeah. And I think in this moment where he is heavy, it's really very often a channeling.
Yeah.
I remember one year in Vrindavan, he was just so heavy to me that one day I said, Gumash, please stop. Please, I cannot tolerate anymore. And he said, huh? What do you mean? He just did not notice anything. He was just like an innocent child. Oh, thank you for telling me. I did not even notice. And I was getting it like so intense. And then I felt he's just like, it's actually Krishna who is doing that. I remember we had once a Bhakti Sangha in your place, and Gumash was showing slides, and there was a picture of me and a monkey who was putting his hand on my leg. And so when we came to this picture, I said, oh, and here is the self-realized sense control, Gaurahari, and he really made joke about me. And I felt so hurt. I just left the program, I went in the room, I did not want to see him. And I said, okay, I do my service, but this I'm not ready to forgive. This I will not look at him. I do my service, but I kept my man or my bad mood. And in the morning I was worshipping Radhakanaya Lal, and as I was turning the light or the incense, I don't remember, around Radharani, I heard a voice, how can you worship me if you don't want even to look at me or to speak at me? It was like the deities were saying, I'm non-different. How can you in one way not look at me and in the other way worship me? Like you are, it doesn't work. And I was there with my incense. did not know what to do anymore. It was quite an experience. Often it's also like direct channeling in those moments when you really get. Because often even you don't even want, or it's just like coming through. So what do we do? Time is running. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Often we have the experience giving lecture to one of the devotees and he's telling some direct. Mm. Does he know? Is he, or does he just speak and what comes, or is he conscious, okay, this person needs this?
Once a person asked Prabhupada, do you know everything? And Prabhupada said, no, I don't know everything, but Krishna knows everything and he tells me. And I think it's the same for the Guru. The Krishna can reveal whatever about us, about what we need, about, and then he can just speak and speak very, very obviously. Many times when he speak, he give lecture, he's addressing many of us in different levels, and usually everyone gets it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even I was in the lecture of Kanamba Kanana Swami, I asked him a question, and then he spoke about pride. And he was not saying you are proud, but that was what I was hearing. Inside of me I was hearing, you are proud, you are so proud, you are so proud. And he was speaking in a general way, but it was just like coming directly. So obviously when lectures are going on, he knows many things of many devotees. Often he says, just by looking at the devotees, I know how they chant. Just that looking at them, I know how spiritually they are. And obviously when he gives lecture, he's addressing many on the personal levels that you... But sometimes even devotees, they just take everything as for them. I remember there was one disciple, when Guru Maharaj would give lecture, he would say, don't think that now I'm speaking about you, because she will just take everything on her case. Oh yeah, that's for me. Everything was for her. And then she felt so miserable. Oh, Guru Maharaj is speaking so hard, and I know I have all those mistakes. So, but very often it's coming in a direct way for us.
Isn't it also that maybe then the super soul inside of us reveals certain things which we need to hear, but we hear it with my glasses, you with your glasses, everyone with his glasses, so to say. So the same words have, you know, so many different meanings and so many different levels for each individual, and the super soul tells you, okay, this is your focus, this you have to hear now. Even general words can have so many meanings.
They are colleague, super soul and guru. They are working together. Yeah. The words come from outside and the super soul inside, directed right to the heart.
We forget that actually communication is we are going through Krishna. Whatever we speak, pronouncing everything is arranged by Krishna, and whatever we hear is also arranged by Krishna, that we can hear something and understand something. So it's all going through Krishna, and what you said, it's right, Krishna. He says in Bhagavad Gita, he's the one who gives knowledge and he gives remembrance, and so on, so he's the one in charge. And very individual, it's not like now general. No, very individual.
The master of the senses.
That's nice. So that's we forget always that actually communication is always through Krishna. And this means also, if you're Krishna conscious, means like then you have a good connection, then you can communicate also good, because always through Krishna. You think, well, if I talk with my wife, it's just, me to her. No, it's always through Krishna. But whenever we are good connected with Krishna, communication is smooth.
Great point.
Very nice.
We start to feel ecstatic. I was planning to end a little bit the lecture on this Guru Maharaj's mood, following in the footsteps of Guru Maharaj. One devotee told me something very nice when I was in Golokadam. He was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and he was in charge to wash the floor. And he was washing and making a lot of water, so it took some time to dry, and he had just done the stairs. And he had finished and he wanted to go up the stairs, but that was still wet and he did not want to wet his socks. But then he saw a devotee was coming and was going up, so he decided to follow in the footstep of the devotees, and then he understand, actually, when I follow in the footstep of the devotees, I will not become wet. I will remain not wet by material stuff, but I will remain protected. And I was thinking a little bit on this following in the footsteps of Guru Maharaj, and obviously we have all different services. We are not sannyasis, we are not preachers, maybe, and like this. So, I think these two points, the point of taking responsibility in the service we are doing, and doing it really as good as we can with this mood of responsibility is one way to follow in his footstep. And I thought the seriousness we have into our own practice of Krishna consciousness, it's also another way to follow in his footsteps. In the sense, for example, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mahaprabhu come back to Ishvarapuri to tell him how mad he has become by chanting the holy name, Ishvarapuri said, oh, you have pleased me so much. by seeing the advancement of his disciple, this is pleasing the spiritual master so much. And I think when the spiritual master sees that we are progressing in our spiritual life, it's also a very big pleasure for the spiritual master to see that we are more progressing. Kanamba Kanana Maharaj was making this very interesting point. He was saying we need to become heavy, very heavy with spiritual weight, so that we become like unmovable in our devotion, in our services. He was saying if we are not heavy, we are like balloons, and we are just brought here and there and here and there. And then he was speaking about the pipes of nourishment in our spiritual life. He was saying, you have a big pipe of nourishment, pilgrimage in the Holy Dhamma. You have another, the Holy Name. You have another, Srimad Bhagavatam. You have another, Vaishnava Sangha. And you need to be careful that all those pipes are totally open, and you can get like full nourishment from all of them. And obviously it's maybe not always easy. You have work and children, and even for me who don't have work and no children, I don't claim to have such a good sadhana or things like this. But I think that's really what makes the spiritual master very happy, when he sees that we are making new steps in our spiritual life, and when we see we become less agitated. Also, it's not that he just sees us as a glowing self-realized devotees, but that he sees that we are more stable, we are less agitated by the ways of material life. So I thought these two points of our spiritual maturity and of our responsibility and carefulness in the service we are doing are most probably the two ways we can serve and follow in his mood in the best way. Good, so I think we should stop here. Thank you for your participation. That's very nice. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Gurudeva ki jai. Oh, something more I wanted to say. Sorry, but it's very short. It's very short, and I found very, very helpful in how to remember the spiritual master. What is easier for us to remember in this seminar from Mahanidhi Maharaj is saying that one should remember the spiritual master, how was the first time we met him, or how was when he gave us the beads, when he gave us initiation, which place, how was the situation. To remember the spiritual master in those two moments are actually very important for us to experience the presence of the spiritual master through Shravanam, remembrance. The first time we met him, or the time he gave us initiation. I found it was helping me quite. Okay, so now I stop. Hare Krishna.